Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Others conceive of the personality of Godhead residing within the body in the region of the heart and measuring only 8 inches, with 4 hands carrying a lotus, a wheel of a chariot, a conch shell, and a club, respectively. Purport. The all-pervading personality of Godhead resides as Paramatma in the heart of each and every living entity. The measurement of the localized personality of Godhead is estimated to expand from the ring finger to the end of the thumb, more or less 8 inches. The form of the Lord described in this verse, with a different distribution of different symbols, beginning from the lower right hand, up and down, and to the lower left hand, with a lotus. I don't know if I said that correctly. Beginning with the lower right hand, up and down to the lower left hand with lotus, a chariot, a conch shell, and club, respectively, is called Janardhan, or a plenary portion of the Lord who controls the general mass. There are many other forms of the Lord with varied situations and lotuses and conch shell, and they are differently known as Purushottam, Adyuta, Narasingha, Trivikram, Hrishikesh, Keshava, Madhava, Aniruddha, Pradyuma, Sankachan, Sridhara, Vasudev, Damodara, Janardana, Narayan, Hari, Padmanabha, and Vamana, Madhusudana, Govinda, Krishna, Vishnumurti, Adhosaja, and Upendra. These 24 forms of the localized personality of Godhead are worshipped in different parts of the planetary system. And in each system, an incarnation of the Lord is having a different Vaikuntha planet in the spiritual sky, which is called Paravyoma. There are many other hundreds and scores of different forms of the Lord, and each of them, every one of them, has a particular planet in the spiritual sky, of which the material sky is but a fragmental offshoot. The Lord exists as a Purusha, or male enjoyer, or the male enjoyer. Although there is no comparing him to any male form in the material world, but all such forms are Advaita, non-different from one another, and each of them are eternally young. The young Lord with 4 hands is nicely decorated as described below. So it commences then to thing. But first, let me remember. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Om jnana timrandasya jnanan jnana salakeya chaksho omilatam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri taitanya manobhistam sapatam yena bhutale svayam rupa karamayam tatati svapatantikam vancha kaupatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam bhavana beyo Vaishnava Beo Namo Nama. So, it's interesting to note there's a lot to speak about in this verse. You know, different planetary systems where the Lord has his own planet. And that's talked about, I think, as Jambudvip in the fifth canto, where they're very wonderful descriptions of each form of the major forms of the Lord. In that canto, the fifth canto. So, fifth canto, there's descriptions of the material planets, but also there's a description of the spiritual planets also, where they're worshipped in different ways. Very interesting, very complex, but there's also hellish planets too. And so we understand that the Lord has a particular, you could say, mission on each of these planets. He's a controller. It says there he's expanded in all these universes, 25 incarnations, major incarnations there. But also, there appears to be also a mention here that also there are other expansions. It's an amazing concept, ever expanding, ever fresh, ever new. And so to find out, you know, this is the appreciation I have of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, how he accumulated this knowledge from his father, Vyasadeva. And he's speaking it for the first time. And so it's a very wonderful thing. But also, what's more wonderful to me is how Parikshit is asking him questions on all this amazing subject matters as we go through the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's King Parikshit, this great Mahajan. He's asking so many questions, but also, it's understood, he was put in the position of difficulty by the Supreme Lord, so Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. For our sake, it's Krishna. This Bhagavatam is Krishna in this world. It represents Krishna. When he left Bhagavatam. And so it should be very nice that it's a grateful situation we find ourselves in, that actually what is being described and being described to all the sages there who were of different types of yogis as well, like the one here, he's meditating on the Lord 6 inches in the heart, and this is another aspect, but he's smaller than the smallest too. He's in the heart of the actual spirit soul as well. And that's a very interesting sort of aspect to it. This inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord is part of the philosophy that we've given, simultaneously one and different in many respects by his energies, his shakti, and his internal potency, pleasure-giving potency. You know, supposedly we're Prakriti, but they serve one purpose. The one purpose is to let us know that the yogis, whoever they may be, bhakti yogis, jnana yogis, you could say, the ones meditating on the heart, I've forgotten what they're called, but they're all somehow trying to approach the Supreme in his spiritual nature, in diversity. And they're trying to get to know him, but it's misunderstood by Mayavad philosophies. And this is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu helped us, because he brought us the highest truth. And he said the names here, and we went through it, and just hearing these names is also purifying us. And it's very wonderful. But if you get a chance to read about the different planets and how they're worshipped in the different planets, Canto 5, I think it was, I think it's chapter 15, they're described. And I particularly have an attraction for the one for Lord Narsingadev. Very, very beautiful. But let's just go, if I may, to this Canto 2. Now, at the beginning of the Canto 2, it says that actually our main problem in this world is our renunciation. It says, don't get attached to these things. Beware what you get attached to. And of course, for me, what immediately springs to mind is things like glubjimans and things like that. Don't acquire a taste. Don't go into it. It's a forewarning that actually, you know, some people, they're born into Vaishnava family, and so they're following certain regulative principles. But I was born into a family where we were gross materialists, and partook of sense gratification, which is talked about in here as well. That actually in this second canto, he said here, the reason the enlightened person endeavor for the minimum necessities of life, while in the world of names, he should intelligently intelligently fixed, and never endeavor for unwanted things, being competent to perceive practically that all such endeavors are merely labor for nothing. So it must be very difficult, you know, population, whatever part from India that they came, that they have this blessing of the culture. But somehow they've come also to the West. And this heavy influence that Prabhupada tried to spread Krishna consciousness, he had to spread back to India to say, look, these are people that denied what you're so attracted to now. He was the perfect example of teacher, both in the West and in India itself. He was trying to say, look, don't become immersed in this material agnostria. And it's very difficult, especially the age of computers, mobile phones, so many things. So we have to intelligently understand what the use of such things and how it can be used in Krishna consciousness to spread Krishna consciousness. And there are many diversities on this now. And whatever's happening here, whether it be the expansion of the manor through the Haveli, and it's a development. It's a development plan, and there are many opinions on what we should be doing like this, we shouldn't be doing like this. But what is very interesting at the moment, all of a sudden, this COVID thing has sort of, you could say, taking a back seat. This, but it's given an appreciation for those who were separated from their spiritual life here at the manor. So we got to know our good fortune through this COVID shutdown, this COVID enlightenment. And I can remember I heard the Queen's speech this year, and she was saying the same thing. She said we should have to have an appreciation of actually this suffering at the moment. And she said, through my faith, I understand that somehow the Lord is in charge, that actually he's looking after us, but it's here to give us an appreciation of the blessings of God. And so we could say, from our point of view, we say Krishna. Some say Allah. We don't argue. We know there's a supreme. But there is arguments based on the material conception and attachment of conception of a certain type of so-called religion. And Prabhupada, he just says, this is a science. It's the science of the soul. We're not looking at the nature of the material designations and judging on these things. No, we're free from that. That we, by his teachings, we've been given Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a science, the science of the soul, the science of the supreme soul. And it's very wonderful. Now, also, what we have here in this chapter, and I look at canto 2, chapter 2, text 5, and it says, very interesting here for the purport in this verse, it says, the description of the in the Bhagavatam, for this verse, it says, there are no torn clothes lying in the common road. Do the trees not, do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms or in charity? Do the rivers, being dried up, no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves and the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect a fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Now there's two aspects there. It's this austerity that we're seeing in the age of the maybe 5,000 years ago, where they just lived under a tree, and they have complete trust and surrender to the Supreme in this thing, but in a very basic way. But it says here, why then do learned sages go to flatter those intoxicated with art and wealth? Well, from our point of view, Prabhupada explains this, that actually our renunciation is like living under a tree. He gives an explanation of what is this living in under a tree in this world. And if I could open the Bhagavatam map to that particular explanation. Back to 5. There's wonderful explanation how we're living under a tree in such a way, the tree of devotional service. So, bear with me. Yeah, so here, so That description I said of the person living under the tree, but he surrendered. He surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So that's the aspect of their position. You know, whatever happens to them. It says the renounced order of a knife is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. Shri Shri Radhago Kunnanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. The renounced order of life for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householder, on the contrary, acceptance of alms from the householder by bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint for tangible benefit to the donor. In Sanatana Dharma, the institution is giving a mendicant a chance and part of the household duty. It is advised in the scriptures that householders should treat the mendicants as their family children and provide them with food and clothing. This is amazing purport, because we are in subject to the mercy of each other, that somehow or other the householders giving charity but to support the spiritual institution of by their living in this world and their sacrifice, that the spiritual aspect of a temple, a place to worship, is also supported. Where to come and assemble with other devotees. So what we've done recently here is an expansion of this concept. You could say that to bring more people to Krishna, to attract people here. And so we are dependent upon each other. It's a sort of team, really. So this diverse association, people coming from all over the country now to the manor because of its worship now, is a godsend, but also has its headaches, because so few people here, and including the congregation, that come into the spiritual life, either staying in the ashram here, and also the ones living outside, that somehow they have to cope with the material nature of this world. But also, Prabhupada's given the solution, isn't it? The Narada Pancharik. It's the worship through home worship, that each home becomes a temple as well. And that we should appreciate that. Because in Bhagavad Gita it says, 9:27, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever charity you perform, whatever difficulties, do it for me. And so what it's saying there is transforming whatever you do into an act of worship. In other words, the washing up at home is Krishna's washing up, not yours. You have to understand that each act you perform in your household life, you're living in Krishna's house. They're Krishna's children. Please understand this fact. And that way, you actually purify what people would say mundane living outside. The job you've been given has been given by Krishna to maintain your family. So we do everything as nicely as possible, whether it be our so-called karmi job, as an act of worship to Krishna. He's given us that job. So we are exemplary to them, to those around us. So we do everything with full heart, not half-hearted. Oh, it's just a job. We have to have this vision that this But anyway, that verse is the essence if you can take it as it is. How Prabhupada describes that how whatever action we do is for Krishna's benefit if we so see it. My wife is not my dasi, she's Krishna's dasi. My husband is not my das, he's Krishna's das. We start to see each other differently. That actually we no longer take possession of each other in family life, in this attachment, that actually that we should help each other back to Krishna. It's a team to take each other back to Krishna. So in that way, I'll just read you what Prabhupada says now in his Transcendental Calendar. I've got the Transcendental Calendar here, and I just referred to it. Bear with me. So, December 19th, Transcendental Calendar. I've read this many times, but there are different aspects. So the secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered devotee. So the secret of surrendering. I said, but how can I surrender? It says it here. He sees a devotee, such a surrendered devotee, sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. So whatever position we're in this world, is Krishna's plan. It must be okay, because everything comes from him. We can't treat it as a mundane thing. So it's to suit our spiritual development. Krishna's not a fool. He's our best friend. He puts us into a situation where we're tested and put to trial, as Bhaktisiddhanta says. So he says, everything is part of Krishna's plan. So it comes from Krishna. Aham savarsa prabhavo. Whatever I'm meant to be, I'm doing. So let me do it with my full attention. As I quote that Bhagavad Gita verse, it spiritualizes every action. So let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service, never mind what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten. Interesting. Considerations. What is it? Considerations means you're engaging the mind. Oh, should I be doing like this? Should I be staying in the ashram or going in this ashram? Going that ashram? Wherever you go, Krishna's looking after you. Because that's a nice verse. 529, Bhaktarim Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maharsvara Suhirdam Sarvabhutanam Shinatmaman Santim Ratate. It says that basically everything you do, you've got to understand the Lord is the beneficiary of all sacrifices. He's the Lord of all the planets. He's the Lord of all the demigods. So forget the demigods. Krishna's the Lord. And then he says, the best thing is you do your charity, whatever it is, your sacrifices, you do it for him. And he says, this will free us from material designations. This will free us from the material life. Because it's we have to know that Krishna's in charge and he's giving us everything. And it's okay, because he's our best friend. That's what it's telling us. So we become free from the pangs of material misery. We're safe, no matter what. So let us understand this. It says then in this thing, so let me become absorbed in this service. Never mind what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten. And that's what he's trying to say. And only my desire to do the thing That thing, for Krishna's alone pleasure, is my motive. And that brings me to one more quote by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. It's for his pleasure we chant Hare Krishna. We may do it for our purification, because Prabhupada says, he tells us, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, we got to purify ourselves with the chanting of these holy names. But ultimately, the higher understanding, it says in the Bible, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati quotes, don't chant the Lord's name in vain. What that means for me, for a selfish motive, because then you're into offences, and we got the 10 offences against the holy name. That actually, that we're chanting the holy name for Krishna's pleasure. He likes to hear it. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he says, it's don't chant, vain means vanity, me. We've got to come out the equation. It's for his pleasure, not my pleasure. At first, we have to understand it's purifying us. But that's the preliminary stage. The next thing is how we can chant for his pleasure. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's brought that. It's Nam Sankirtan Yagya, where you're singing and chanting on the streets. And to others, to give them, and whoever comes here, that we give them Srimad Bhagavatam, we give the kirtan, you know, Harinam Kirtan. And so, wherever you are, this Krishna consciousness here is to be given for Krishna's pleasure. So that's the whole thing about bhakti. It's converting what was previously selfish motives into selfless motives. Is unifying ourselves with the pleasure of Krishna. This is being one with Krishna. This is the actual oneness with Krishna, that we are pleasing him and we're pleasing those who worship him, the devotees and the non-devotees. We try and, as it says, Intrinadapi Sunichena, that's the most wonderful verse. It says we've got to think of ourselves lower than the straw in the street. We should be more tolerant than a tree. Tolerant means that we get abuse from a lot of quarters, criticism from each other even. But we have to handle it, because it comes from Krishna. As a devotee, he accepts it as coming from Krishna. Somehow it's a message. But it's wrong, it's wrong. No, there are no right and wrongs. Everything comes from Krishna. So, that's your previous life. Maybe either early in your life. But you're getting something that you deserve. And don't think I don't deserve it. You do. So we become tolerant. It's a message. It's a message from your personal message from your best friend. And so somehow Krishna is trying to teach us this wonderful verse of Trinadapi Sunichena. And in this way, when we know everything comes from Krishna, we can chant the holy names constantly. We don't worry. We're worried that Krishna's not worried. I mean, that we're causing him worry. You see what I mean? We're feeling anxiety because Krishna must be feeling anxiety. And so we pass this on in such a way. And it says, also at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, the person who teaches this Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam to the Vaishnavas and the devotees, they're most dear to me. There's none so dear. So we have to teach to each other. It's not just to people who are not following. We have to teach to each other, to assist each other. In that way, we have to fulfill what makes us dear to Krishna. And we just have to look at the scriptures and analyze in a certain way, or find out by spiritual master. He's there. He's waiting. And follow. Follow these teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the Lord in the heart. Jai. Any quick comments? Questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class. Didn't hear much of it. I just want to make a comment rather than ask a question, if that's okay.
Yes, certainly.
I found that very interesting where you were saying how Srila Prabhupada, having established ISKCON in the West, that he was very, very interested in going back to India and giving Krishna consciousness over there. And I heard from a very, very senior devotee that Prabhupada told him personally that as Bhaktisiddhanta had his desire to spread Krishna consciousness in the West, Prabhupada's personal desire was that Krishna consciousness take strong foothold in India.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. So, you know, Prabhupada had this concept, but was inspired into this concept of giving those who didn't know and those who should already know. You're right. He's reviving their consciousness. Amazing. You know, because they're losing it. You know, the attraction for this material adnostrias is an amazing thing. It cheats us. It cheats us. So back there, Bhaktisiddhanta. Sorry. Yeah. Anybody? Yeah.
Yeah. Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the class. I just wanted to ask, you know, you're talking about how we should see everything as part of Krishna's plan. Appreciate that and, you know, give our full attention in that sense. So my question is, how do we see, you know, things as Krishna's plan if we're not feeling that we're where we should be in our service to the Lord?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first question, that's really sort of easy to answer. There is either our Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. But we also have our authorities here. That also advanced devotees who you can speak to. Because you don't have to worry. Krishna says, give up all varieties of religion. Don't worry, Masujaha. Krishna will guide you to what you're supposed to be doing. Because whatever you're doing now, you're meant to be doing. And don't think it's not... Because we're looking in terms of, if we're not careful, career, the future, it's mode of passion. Is this right? Am I doing wrong? You know, should I be here? Should I not? No, we should question, but it's in conjunction with what Krishna's already given you. We have to first appreciate what we've got, and if you have this yearning in you to do a particular service, then it should be, you should express it. You should do it. Because that's revealing one's heart, isn't it? Yeah. And actually, once a problem shared is a problem halved, isn't it? Once we actually speak it, then the answer comes anyway. Just by even verbalizing it. Because we're holding it in this mind. Our doubts, they are traitors. They cause us to lose that good we may achieve by trying. Sometimes we're given something we don't want to do. Isn't it? But we're still given it by authority. So do it. But also, voice your concerns. And that's right. Prabhupada said to Arjuna, look, tell me your doubts. I can repeat it all again if you want. And he says, it's the duty of the spiritual master or the spiritual guides to somehow or other assure you that, you know, and to appreciate what you've got now and see what you've got now. But at the same time, you can express it because you'll know in yourself, oh, why did I say that? Oh, it's obvious, isn't it? But you need the mirror. your spiritual mirror to find out, revealing one's heart. And of course, Nectar of Instruction is telling us with the devotees. So we may not agree, we may agree, but it's difficult. It's not going to be easy, but it's simply joyful. It says so in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Chapter 9. You know, this process is simply joyful. And Prabhupada, he was asked, what is recreation, Prabhupada? And he said, well, singing, dancing, honouring prasadam. Are these not exercise? Are these not recreation? No, he just analyzed the situation to show them that actually you've got your recreation. It's your devotional life. It's recreation. Such a nice word, isn't it? Recreation. It's transforming. Yeah. Okay. Were there anybody? Burning question? Yeah. So we just, you have to be the last question, it's a little point to be made.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, in the text, size of the super soul which the yogi meditates upon is given as 8 inches. In other places in the Bhagavatam, size of the thumb, the super soul is described as the size of a thumb. Mm. And then also, sometimes the devotees have a question. When it comes to other living entities, what is the size of the super soul?
Mm. Well, the question is, what is the size? Now, that's interesting. It depends on the motive of the person, what they're going for. Some yogis want to meditate on the... That's their motive. They want to meditate on Om or whatever they, and look into the heart and to realize the super soul. That's their motive. But that's only what we regard. They're on a sort of a spiritual platform, but it's still self-motivated. It's incomplete. So basically, they're doing, and the super soul will manifest in that way to them, based on their desire. But we don't desire for that, because there's so many diversities of the super soul within Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So we go for what Prabhupada says, Radha and Krishna, the Bhagavatam, the super soul, the Vishnu forms. They're all serving Krishna. And they all see themselves as a servant of Krishna. That's the process, even of the expansions. They're all servants of Krishna, the original Krishna. And so, in a sense, this size is sort of a part, incomplete part of the yoga system. It's trying to link with an aspect, an expansion of Krishna, but it's self-motivated to meditate on the Lord in the heart in that particular fashion. And he'll be given a picture of the Lord with all the ornaments, which we're going to go into next. It's another meditation. But it's not our final meditation. Our final meditation is what we understand in the face of the Bhagavatam, Canto 10. That's the final conclusion, but we don't go there too quickly. That's why we have Krishna book. Prabhupada's giving it in such a way that that we should know about it in the form, but it's also scientifically done. Knowing the he's been inspired by the super soul within, you could say. It's not the one that's 6 inches high, but that which is guiding him. He's, so all his books come from the super soul. If you ask him a question, he says, somebody asked him, do you know everything? He says, what I need to know. So if somebody asks him the question, because he's in contact with the super soul, he can report that. And this is the understanding of spiritual master. Their reflection, they see themselves as a servant of Krishna, and they'll give you what they see and from their understanding and realization. The spiritual guide, that's for certain. So we just go for what Prabhupada's given us, the goal. Read Bhagavatam all the way through, but start from the beginning, you know. So we're going to see all this various stuff, you know. But again, Prabhupada explains it in such a way where we can get to Lord Chaitanya's position, the feeling of separation, that we're separate from Krishna and that we want to get back to him. I think we better finish there. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.